grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is a gospel lesson and the words of Simeon. It is Simeon's song. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And that's the old traditional wording, isn't it? Way back when, I was amazed, we were amazed, a bunch of us in my home congregation, amazed as teenagers, when the pastor cued us in as to what Simeon was actually saying. That was, first of all, it was hard to believe that he was praying this. Then it was, ooh, we've got this secret something, and I wonder if our parents know this. And we would sing the Nunc Dimittis at the end of communion, and we would think, ah, this is a special secret knowledge we have, because we know what this is really all about. And basically what he said that is that when Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, Simeon was asking now to be allowed to die. Really? That didn't cross the minds of teenagers back then until it was explained to us, and then we had run into something that was so totally unexpected in the Bible that we considered this very, very special. But you think about it, and think about Simeon through all of those years of his life, seeing the things in this world step by step start to go wrong. And then the Romans were there and occupying the land, and the religious leaders had gotten corrupt, and the Pharisees were telling everybody, well, you better behave, and if you behave, God will come and destroy the Romans, and that's what we really want. And you can see how such a portrayal of what religion was really all about could have distressed a righteous man of God. Let's go a step further on this. And Simeon, you know, after a certain age, you learn something about yourself. A professor in seminary expressed it this way. He said, gentlemen, when you get out into the parish, you will at times encounter older folks in your congregation who will come to you and say, you know, Pastor, that sin that I have struggled with all my life, I'm not winning. What am I to do? And Simeon, after living that many years and struggling as one of God's people, to struggle against the darkness inside and finding out that although he believes his life is not becoming that holy life that he desired, and that puts him right in our company, doesn't it? And Simeon then says to God, let your servant depart in peace now. Because he wants to see God. And in the seeing of God, he desires to stand before God and be one of God's people. And he struggled with that. It's like echoes of Luther's life, trying to live the righteous life so that he can have a loving God. And it wasn't working, and it wasn't working, and it wasn't working again. Now Simeon finds the Christ. And the Christ coming into the world is not this mighty figure, this warrior, this righteous and powerful person who comes into the world to conquer. He's a baby. And on the 40th day of his life, there he is in the temple. In the temple where God is with all of his power and God is with all of his holiness and might. And here's this little baby. And the Holy Spirit, who has revealed to Simeon, somehow, we don't know how, that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. The Holy Spirit leads Simeon to the Christ child and to know, this is the one. And now for Simeon, everything changes. And he doesn't have to be holy and righteous and upstanding in his life. He can be that broken sinner that sees the Christ. So, Simeon sings his song. Let's run through it a little bit. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, because the peace that he has wanted and desired and sought for and struggled for all his life, that he has not been able to grab a hold of or attain, this peace now comes to him, and it comes from God. And isn't that how it always must be? That we can't achieve it, that we can't gain it, but that it has to be given as a gift. And again, peace. Well, this world has a lot of definitions of peace, including contentment, happiness, the end of conflicts and war, harmony in the family. And the people of this world struggle for peace and try to find it and cannot find it, because everywhere we look, it slips away and something goes wrong. And there is conflict without, turmoil within, and peace seems to elude our grasp. It's not there in the reforming of the life. It's not there in the security of riches. It's not there in might and protection. It just isn't there. Because in the presence of all of those things, there is this nagging knowledge inside that this isn't it. And if you grab for a peace that the world understands, it's a peace that the world can give. And if the world can give it, the world can take it away. And the only way the world will give it is by demanding a compromise. And the compromise always will come in terms of compromising what is right and true and good. And you will find yourself without inner peace. But instead, peace has to come through the Christ child. Peace has to come through the gift of that little baby born into our world. Peace has to come from God to us. And only when it comes from God to us can we ever have it in a way that the world cannot take away. And only then can we have a peace that we can share with others. Only when it's given as a gift can it be given through us and by us freely to others. So, peace. According to your word, God's promise, and the word of God from the beginning of the world, and all of that word of God that gives what we need for our souls. the middle part of the song. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. He prepared it, starting out way back in the Garden of Eden, when the promise was given to Adam and Eve of the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the devil. And in crushing the head of the devil, he would be wounded. And in that conflict, he would be our salvation. So when Simeon takes the child in his arms and looks at Jesus, his eyes see salvation. Salvation must come to us in Jesus Christ. With hands and feet, hands to stretch out on the cross, feet to walk around the land of Palestine with the gospel, hands to heal the sick, to raise the dead, feet for a sinner to anoint, and know that in this person, in the flesh of this person, is our salvation. And salvation, not something that we can achieve or earn again. Salvation, not in some idea, some goodness, some achievement, but salvation that comes from God stepping in to save us where we have been lost, where we were lost, and where we are now rescued. And that prepared before the face of all peoples, from the Garden of Eden on through the time of Abraham, where God says, leave your father's house, go to the land I will show you, then go to the mountain I will show you. There on that mountain, Abraham and Isaac to act out the sacrifice that they were not allowed to do, because only God the Father and His Son Jesus could actually do that sacrifice. Through the years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses and the Israelites, through the time of the prophets, pointing to Christ. From Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel. From Micah, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, out of you will come one who will be shepherd for my people Israel, whose goings forth are from ancient times, from days of eternity. That's the salvation prepared before the face of all people. And now that salvation is there to hold in Simeon's arms and to sing praises to God. And that salvation for all peoples. And that means us. The third portion, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And again, there we get mentioned. Because out of our darkness we come into the light, out of the unbelief of the generations gone by, we have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ for the glory of your people Israel. All of this means that we are privileged, you and I, we're privileged to live in the age of the Messiah. He has come. He has brought the kingdom of God. And that means that in our lives, no matter what happens, there is peace. No matter what happens, there is peace in Him. The peace that comes from God, the peace that's given by Him. The peace that can be then passed on and shared. The peace that the world cannot take away. The peace that the world does not understand. And there is for Simeon, there is nothing that can terrify or worry or endanger that saint of God. Because why? Because he has seen Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, he has seen salvation. And the same peace is given to us. That in seeing and knowing Jesus, there is salvation. There is nothing that can endanger, nothing that should worry us in this life. We are able to go in peace. We are able to face whatever tomorrow brings. All of which brings back to mind a saying that I heard as a child. You hear certain things that stick with you. Well, this one, an interesting quote. A man is not prepared to live until he is prepared to die. Really? Yeah, that will impress a young person. Probably confuse a young person at first. But it sticks there in your mind. A man is not prepared to live until he is prepared to die. In other words, until you know that certain something that is bigger than yourself, that means everything in the whole universe, that certain something that will give meaning to every part of life, that certain something that you would be willing to lay down your life for that, then you are not yet prepared to face the dangers and uncertainties of life. And the person who spoke that quote, of course, was speaking about faith in Jesus Christ. Because until you are prepared by knowing where you stand with God, until you are prepared by knowing where your soul is in relationship to Jesus Christ, and where matters of heaven and eternity and judgment day are concerned, until that is sorted out in your life, you will always struggle and never be at peace and never be able to truly move forward boldly and blessed by God. But when you have learned that one thing, then everything in life comes into perspective. I'll say it a few other ways. Words from Paul. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes. This is what makes us Christians. This is what separates us from all of the other religious sentiment in the world. All of the morality of religion. It is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it is that way for Simeon as well. As Simeon then, in his song and in his words to Mary and Joseph, how he is preoccupied with Jesus. Simeon will talk to them about what Jesus means, appointed for the fall and rising of many. And he will bring it home by talking about the cross. The quote to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Because to know Jesus, to truly know him, is to know the meaning of the cross. And your own need for salvation, and what has been given to you by Jesus, by his death, by his resurrection, and in that gift, sorry about that, in that gift, in that receiving of the gift that comes to you in Jesus, then to have everything. Some years ago, I heard somebody warning about a Christless Christianity, which boiled down to people getting preoccupied with teaching children how to live a moral life and forgetting what Christianity truly is all about, namely Jesus Christ. I began to warn about a crossless Christ. And that would be talking about Jesus and how he was a good person and a great teacher and so on and so on. And forgetting that at every point as Christians we are called to go back to speaking of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us Christian. It is Christ, Christ at the beginning, Christ at the end, Christ in the middle, all Jesus Christ, all the time for us as Christians, and everything in our faith connects in with Jesus. Just that simple. It is what makes us Christian instead of making us religious or spiritual. In the name of Jesus, amen.